Good morning, and thank you for joining today. Be one of many series calls that we're going to have around the topic of open source. I'd like to introduce you to John Donaldson, our Vice President in charge of Systems Middleware Competitive Sales. John's going to take us through a set of slides to give us a background and a perspective on open source, how it fits into our zSystems environments, and to help give you a better idea of to understand, you know, when we compete, when we complement, and when we can upsell our IBM software products into an open source environment. John, over to you.
Great. Well, thanks everyone for joining. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about open source today. But just before I get started, let me introduce myself to you and our team. I have been part of the software business with IBM for a number of years. I've been a part of the WebSphere organization for a number of years as well prior to the new middleware team, but lead a group of competitive specialists that focus exclusively on the competitors across the middleware portfolio, both in the distributed and in the Z space. So this is really a great opportunity for us to connect. And the first few slides you'll see, if you're following along with me on the presentation, I'm just going to take a minute and introduce to you the competitive team. So you know the skills and assets that we have available for you to support you and some of the focus that we have within our mission. Secondly, we'll talk about open source, kind of understanding open source. This is a topic, of course, that I don't think is new to anyone, but I'll give you kind of a position that I think is worthwhile for us to take in the face of what's happening in the open source world in general, and a position to take in to our customers. And then, of course, what is the IBM response? What is IBM's kind of, I quote, competitive response, and how do we really recognize the value of open source, but also recognize the competitive threat of open source products? And then finally, we'll take a few minutes extending these messages to the Linux One and Linux Platform on Zed and provide for you a list of resources that are available to help you in your sales efforts. So following along with me on slide number 3, you'll see this is our competitive wiki. And if you haven't been there, I would encourage you to do it. Go to the site and bookmark it. And you can click on any one of the 5 segment areas there, application platform, IT service management, etc. And what you'll see is a summary of the products that are in that segment of the portfolio and the competitors that align with those specific products. Alternatively, you can go directly to the competitor, just click on the logo and you'll get all the information. And then at the bottom of this page, not shown here, is a kind of view all competitors. So if you can't see the specific logo, the competitor you're looking for, just click on the view all competitors and you'll get an alphabetical listing. All of the assets that we build are designed for our sales and our technical sales people. Most of them are built with customers in mind. In other words, we build them in support of our selling efforts so that our sellers can take them to customers. And if that's not the case, then we will indicate that they're confidential, what have you. We're also very open to our business partners using this material. Naturally, we want to ensure that the right material is getting in the right hands and it's managed accordingly, and it's within the context of the non-disclosure agreement that we have with our business partners. But we certainly want to make available our insights and our competitive knowledge to the partner community as well. Slide number 4 here you see is the team. There's about 12 of us globally. A number of the folks are in North America, in the United States, and myself happen to be in Canada, and a couple in Europe and in Asia Pacific as well. So each of them bring really a strong sales understanding and also a technical depth and understanding what our products do. And in fact, if I think of the kind of 3 areas that we focus most on, it's really hands-on support of our sellers, that is engaging with them and talking about sales situations and circumstances and helping them to build strategy, knowing what the competitive approach might look like. And we do, secondly, a lot of competitive comparisons. So where we can, we'll actually look at the products, we'll do feature function comparisons, we can do performance comparisons, and even do use case analysis in some cases to really be able to separate what I call technology fact from marketing fiction. And in that way, knowing what our products, our middleware products, can do compared to the open source alternative really gives us the basis to build a business case. So understanding the technology, if we perform at three times the rate, for example, there's going to be a significant infrastructure cost in supporting the open source alternative. And that goes with any of the competitors that you saw on the previous page. And then, of course, we spend a bit of our time on enablement, too. And updating our sellers, our tech sellers across the world in terms of what's new and exciting and what we're seeing among our competitive ranks. So my main message here is for you to think of this team really as an extension of yourself, your resources, and a resource base that you can use. I would always encourage people go to the wiki first and look for information that's there. And then, and if there's information not there, by the way, or if you find something that's incorrect, you know, please let us know. We do our best to try to keep the information fresh and up to date, but we are, we do look for input from you, and a lot of the material is based on experiences from the field. So I would encourage you to give us any insights, good or constructive, and we'll continue to improve on the quality of material that's available for you. Now, I also want to draw your attention to the whywebsphere.com blog. WhyWebSphere hasn't been changed to the middleware name only because this is a public domain, and we have hundreds of thousands of people that are actually visiting this location, so we haven't quite figured out what domain name to change to and how to manage that transition. But most importantly here, this is a public site that we built about 5 years ago in an effort, in an attempt to make as much of our known technology advantages to the community, the public community, through customers, business partners, developers, etc. And I just have taken, you know, kind of a dozen or so articles that I think were good articles, valuable articles, kind of a mix of sales and technical sales content. And you can certainly go on the site and see those yourself. I want to encourage you again to subscribe to the blog so that you'll get updates as they come along. Usually once every week or a couple of times a week, we would post a blog there. Now, again, this is a public site, so this is material that you can use and send directly to your customers. You can refer to business partners, etc. But I would also encourage all of you, if you have any latent blogging desire, to blog yourself. If you've got an article that you think is of value, of interest, you know, we are all actioned and asked by our chairman to get active and get socially involved. So this is one way you can do it, is just by sending up blogs. And I think you'll find that the material on the blog is somewhat edgy. I like to think that we really try to push the envelope a little bit in terms of what our capabilities are. Where we know we have a strong position against any particular competitor or in the open source space, a lot of the material is in open source, we like to really promote it, and we like to really strongly emphasize why we are a better alternative for customers today. So I would encourage you to go to the whywebsphere.com blog, subscribe, and again, I would welcome any of you if you're interested in posting and participating in the blogging environment. I will say, admittedly, that the level of Z and Linux One content is limited. So this is an opportunity, I think, for us to work together to really, you know, tip the scales and rebalance a lot of the content so that we can be much more effective in supporting you and much more effective in making the information available as to what you want to see and what your customers are asking for specific to the Z platform. So moving along here, understanding open source. First of all, open source in itself is not at all the competition. Open source is an incredibly important ecosystem. It has a very important market presence, and IBM specifically has been a very involved participant in the open source community. Not only do we contribute open source content, we lead and provide resources into open source projects, but we also use a lot of open source technologies within our products, and I'll talk more about that. So right up front, we need to make sure that we don't let our competition establish this notion that, you know, you have a continuum on one end of that continuum, you have open source, which is cool and accessible and shared resources and community, and on the other end, you've got IBM, this kind of old, stodgy, proprietary organization. There's nothing that can be further from the truth. IBM is a huge contributor to open source, as I say, and we see it as a very critical ecosystem for not only ourselves, but for the industry as a whole. Now, when you talk about open source to customers, I just want to draw attention to the fact that you need to make sure that you understand the role that the person you're speaking with has, because each will have a slightly different perspective of what open source is, good, bad, or indifferent. And you need to always understand what's in the minds of your customers, of course, before you're taking a position on what IBM's presence may be in any particular area. So obviously a developer is going to have a very different perspective than a CIO and a line of business executive, et cetera. But again, be clear on who you're speaking with, and you'll see some of the different perspectives that each of them may have. Now, what we've observed over the last number of years is that the companies like Red Hat and MuleSoft and WSO2, and there's so many others, what they do is they take open source projects and then they essentially commercialize them. And they become commercialized vendors that sell subscription and generate revenue through subscription services. And what they do is the sales tactics that we've observed over the last number of years is typically in a developer level first. They really, start at the development level. They gain a sense of trust and a sense of relationship at the development community. They'll often establish evangelists within those organizations who then take their messages to the enterprise and to the line of business and to others as projects go from, even skunk works to real development projects to runtime projects, real application, business applications. So, that's kind of the modus operandi. So we can't shy away from the need for us to also speak to developers and, reestablish some of the information that I've just relayed to you. And in fact, you'll find that a lot of the material you'll see in the wiki and on the blog is very developer-focused, very specific on how does our, setup and implementation use case compare to different open-source alternatives, those kinds of things. They very much focus on low cost, and mix the total cost of ownership and total cost of acquisition. Obviously, a lot of the open source projects and products are not, they don't have an acquisition cost, so they can download them easily and set them up. But there's a huge cost associated with the life cycle of that software, and we're going to talk more about that. They also try to position it as good enough. IBM is large and bloated and significant, and yes, it can maybe do some things that we can't, but we're good enough. We can provide the kind of capabilities to serve your needs. And again, we need to challenge some of those positions. And a number of them, Red Hat in particular, with JBoss, has been extremely successful at kind of the land and expand, establishing a beachhead in certain areas and then growing their portfolio, not unlike what we're doing in the middleware space. So, again, there's no kind of rocket science new news here, perhaps, but I just want you to be aware of this is a consistent kind of tactic that we see time and time again. And on slide number 10, you'll see that, this is a list of just kind of ad hoc comments that customers tell us about open source. And what's interesting to note here is you look at them, most of the comments are not about, our technology performance comparisons. There's no real hard quantifiable differences. It's all really FUD, frankly. And they're really good at kind of building on this momentum that there's this continuum that I mentioned earlier, open source on one side and IBM on the other. And again, nothing can be further from the truth. So we really need to be aware of these kind of things and listen very carefully and be prepared to challenge a lot of these misconceptions. And we have lots and lots of examples where we have done exactly that. We've challenged these perceptions, misperceptions, and we have won and we've engaged. In fact, we'll talk a little bit more later about some of the turnarounds that we have and successes that we've had where people have gone down an open source path, for example, and then found that it wasn't the utopia that they had promised, and then they came back to IBM. So those kinds of things, you need to go into that with a certain sense of confidence. Now, what is the real response? What do we want to be telling customers? Well, first of all, we need to make sure that they understand that we don't compete with open source. What we compete with are commercialized open source products. So again, it's companies like JBoss and Mule and others that take products that they make available source, but they essentially are the, it's a unified source. I mean, they're the only ones that are providing input into the development of the product, and they're commercializing it for support and service. So those are the customers that we're after, not open source in itself. And as I mentioned to you, we're a contributor to the open source continuum, And in fact, we embrace open source. And our strategy here is really to look at the different open source initiatives, and we continue to invest on top of those initiatives to foster innovation that can deliver on a broader set of capabilities that really meet customers' business needs and provide that accelerated total cost of ownership value associated with the solution versus the independent piece parts. And this slide, I like, you've probably seen it around, it's been along for a long, long time, but it just demonstrates that open source is not something that we just kind of tipped our toe in. We've been involved in the open source community for many, many years, and we've got very specific examples of the leadership position that we've taken. So customers need to understand that IBM's investment and support and participation in the open source community is really second to none, and that we recognize the importance of the community, the value that they bring, and we use that and incorporate that into our products. And in fact, you see on slide number 16, there's a number of products that specifically adapt a lot of the open source packages within those products. I was speaking actually recently to the acquisition organization, kind of an interesting group of people that go out and they look at different acquisitions that will help us to accelerate our strategy in the software business. And one of the individuals indicated to me that some of the products that they review include as much as 90% open source content. So the product has been developed based on pulling a whole mantra of different projects and initiatives and packages and then bundling all those together to provide some unique value add that's important to the business. And when you hear the term blue washing, it's all about our efforts to understand what are the real individual implications of each of those open source components, and can we in fact bring those all together and mandate those into a secure and proper and legally appropriate product that goes forward. But I digress for a second. But you can see here there's a whole list of products and more examples of the participation of open source within our own products. Now, one of the things that we have done, again, as part of the, and you'll see many of these papers in the blog and in our wiki, is we have, our marketing team has built an Open Source Plus website. And you see the Open Source Club, the link there. This is, again, a public site. This is where people can go, and we're often kind of funneled down. If you Google IBM and open source, you'll end up on this page. And what we intend to provide here is just, you know, practical examples of where the value proposition and the innovation that we foster across all of our products and our customers' experiences. And I just have kind of clipped a few pieces from the sites talking about, you know, going beyond good enough. You know, Open Source Plus delivers all of the kind of capabilities. And for those of you on the phone in the Linux One and Zen world, I mean, you understand these capabilities more than anybody, the importance of, you know, scalability and availability, etc. And then, of course, the total cost of ownership. Down on the bottom is a number of webcasts that we continue to put in place and some of our executives to talk about specific topical areas. Again, positioning our ability and our fostering of capability on top of the open source environment. And then, of course, your peers. And we look for, as much as we can, case studies where customers, they say, go down an open source path, realize that it's not for them, and they come back to IBM. Recently, we sponsored a POC. We worked with a customer in New York, a large financial institution, who were looking at the IBM integration bus. And they were comparing that to an open source alternative. And they did about a 3-month, very, very detailed POC. And we were so impressed with the work that they did. And yes, they chose IIP in the end. They chose IBM. We funded Forrester to actually do a paper on that case study using their TEI study, which is a total economic impact study. So they looked at the financial institution's results, and they applied it to a quantifiable ROI measurement that they used and that they have. It's a model that they build and that they sell. So we were so impressed with it, we asked them to do that, and we now have a document, for example, that demonstrates significant, not only quantitative not only qualitative differences between the products and performances and capabilities, but quantified in terms of what is your actual investment going to look like going down a comparable open source, a leading ESB open source alternative versus IIB. And it's a very eye-opening when you can get that kind of thunder behind your product in those kind of comparisons. So all of that type of information we make available on the site so that you can use for customers. Now, having said that, be interested in hearing your experiences, of course, but in my experiences, whenever I give customers documents like that, whenever I say, here's an organization that has experienced our product versus open source, unless it's an exact match with this kind of customer, they'll often say to us that it just doesn't match. It's not consistent with us. Our company is different. So we really need to do two things. We need to, first of all, as you see on slide number 17, we need to be able to separate, you know, the total cost of acquisition notion from the total cost of ownership. So recognize that it's not just about the license costs. You've all heard the example of the free puppy analogy. Well, it may be free to take home, but the costs over the life of that puppy are significant. And that's what open source is. Anytime you're incorporating any software product, it has to be maintained, it has to be developed, it has to be upkept, and it in many cases it needs to other components around that. So we've identified about a dozen or more different total cost of ownership advantages, and these are going into the papers that I referenced and customers refer to. And as I say, often when I give these papers and when I make them available to customers, their response is, John, that's interesting, but it doesn't really apply to my business. You know, it doesn't really, if, you know, we're larger, we're smaller, we have a very large development organization or a small development organization, or we're divested over, you know, multiple different businesses. We don't have that kind of, whatever the issue is, I always get that kind of response. So at which point, now is when we want to say to customers, well, that's fine. We'll look at those specific examples, and we'll use tooling that we've built to introduce and to run that same kind of TCO comparison specific to your environment. So on slide number 18, you see just an example of a number of the papers and the materials that we have that reference the advantage that we have. And on slide number 19, if you're following along, you'll see that we have built workshops and models that allow us to take the customer-specific environment and run it, comparing that against a comparable open source alternative. And in many cases, in most cases, over a five-year period, there are some exceptions, of course, but over a five-year period, the overall cost associated with maintaining and supporting that piece of software is going to be less with IBM than with, again, the open source alternative. So this gives you an opportunity to kind of respond with kind of a great next step. Well, let's look at your specific environment, Mr. Customer, and we'll run it specific to you. And then we're using their data. And it gives you, you know, now a quantifiable position that's hard to refute. In fact, we have loaded on the blog an automatic tool. Customers, we've put it up publicly so people can go look at it themselves. And we had a bank in Canada, very large bank in Canada, that was invested in WebSphere. They were looking at open source alternatives. They used the calculator themselves and plugged the numbers in, and they found that all of a sudden, oh, yes, you know, your solution is not more expensive. It's less expensive than actually migrating to an alternative open source project. So they found themselves, and then all of a sudden the discussion turned into a ULA discussion about how do we increase our licensing perspective on this particular project. So those are the tools, and it's extremely validating, verifying that it's extremely, you know, useful when you hear those kind of points of validation or verification from customers themselves that are using materials. So I would encourage you to engage with us, and we can guide you through either doing that yourselves if you're interested in that. We have the little kind of tutorials that show you how to use the workshop model, or we can help you and work it through with you, again, specific to your customer. Now, one of the other initiatives we have, and there's a number of specific programs that we offer in support of kind of the open source discussion, and I've just talked about one in terms of the TCO model, but we also have something called the Right Fit Loyalty Program, and this is specific to the WebSphere application server space, but equally valuable on distributor or Zed platform, whereby we'll look at the customer's specific requirements. What we're finding is that Red Hat, for example, and JBoss are going into our customers and saying, well, we'll offer you the same similar kind of capabilities and save you about 80% in your SNS costs. That's a pretty compelling argument. So instead of them doing that, what we've decided to do is offer up this kind of right fit loyalty notion, which is about looking at all of the use cases and requirements that you have and making sure they have the right balance of product applied against that. For example, in the WAS space, for those that you may be familiar, we've sold a lot of ND over the last number of years. Well, ND is an expensive product. It's a high-valued, it's the real top-of-the-line product. But over the years, the WAS base, and even Liberty, which has been since introduced, also have capabilities that were originally not found in the product. So in some cases, we're able to migrate down, to trade down from ND to base and reduce subscription revenue substantially, and introduce Liberty as a common environment that moves you seamlessly from development through runtime. And those kinds of discussions we have with customers are extremely healthy. Now, no one's in the business of reducing SNS stream, for sure. That's not really what we're trying to do. But I'd rather that we do it and they stay with the IBM franchise and instead of going to an alternative, thinking that they can save a lot of money, when in fact, you know, we can go through this type of exercise with them and look at ways to save the money and look at ways at you know, repurposing those funds to new workloads or new opportunities as we go forward. So I wanted to highlight this as one program, and there are several that we use to engage with customers to battle this kind of perception of, again, open source is much, much cheaper. The other resource that's an important one for it to be aware of is our dedicated pre-sales migration team. Again, coming from a WebSphere legacy, this is a team we built about 4 years ago as a one dedicated to going in and displacing competitive installs. So where you've got customers that are running competitive or open source technologies, and we want to move them to IBM, you still naturally need to sell the value of our capabilities. So what's our solution? What's the value proposition over the comparable competitive product? You still need to be able to provide a good financial model. What is the quantifiable benefits associated with making that transition? But this then becomes the third component, which is a unique competitive advantage for us. And it can apply, again, on not only in distributed environment, but on the Zed platform. We can put people on site and help customers migrate from their existing environment to the new environment. We'll look at how their products are being used. We'll do an assessment. In some cases, we'll have tools that will help automate the process. And you'll see a link there just under the title of our win stories, and there are now dozens and dozens, maybe 100 or more win stories that talk to, you know, how we've consolidated the workload, how we've moved a variety of different environments, all consolidated down to IBM, how we've even done some V2V upgrade. We've got some involved in some version-to-version upgrades where customers think, well, instead of upgrading to IBM, I'm just going to move to open source. It's a lot less expensive. I can make the transition now. Well, in those cases, we'll go on site. We'll work with them. We'll let them know how important it is to work with them and to demonstrate the kind of tools and capabilities that we have to keep them on the WebSphere platform, again, along with the value proposition and the financial justification for the customer to start continue to investing in IBM. So, again, a unique investment area for us. It's something that no other competitor is doing, and it's an asset that you can draw on. You can just contact myself or any member of the team if you're interested in having a discussion of how it might fit in your organization. Now, we don't have skills in every product across the portfolio yet. We're looking to build that, and we're looking to introduce the team to a broader set of capabilities. You can see in the focus areas there, we started in the kind of the application server space, which is a very mature J2E environment. But since then, we've moved into ESBs. We've even done some BPM transitions as well. So, again, we're open to, you know, listening what customers are trying to do, offering some best practices and understanding of what are the issues and challenges that you would typically go through, and offer this kind of expertise. And again, these are on-site services, and And we all know how expensive and how valuable that can be. So a great asset for us to build into our sales strategies as we go forward. I've also included some common objections. You know, typically these things that open source is free, you know, it's good enough, and you've probably heard a lot of these of your own. So here's kind of a list, and there's a lot more that are available. I just wanted you to be aware of the fact that if you're going into the sales situation, these are good kind of initial statements just to be have on the tip of your tongue and be aware of to be able to respond to. Now that we've kind of looked at the whole open source position, we've looked at what is the competitive response to that, how do we try to correct often customers' misunderstandings about IBM, and then how do we demonstrate that in really practical terms? We've kind of covered all those areas. How do we extend that now to the Linux One and Zen environment? And we will have time for some Q&A just in a few minutes as I wrap this section up, and some of my counterparts on the Linux One side will join that discussion. So if you've got any questions, you'll be able to ask them as well. So first of all, we need to understand that there's a huge breadth of open source players in the Linux space that across all of the different areas that we would see. So I don't think anybody on this call is immune to the open source discussion at all, and you'll see it everywhere. We're going to see more and more of it coming as open source becomes and continues to be extremely important in the overall ecology of the software economy and how people can gain value from it. And we see announcements on a regular basis how IBM continues to embrace open source. There's a very specific effort by our executive and by the media to position the fact, again, IBM's representation in this important segment and the value that we can contribute, the value that we're gaining from it. So there's no question about that. Now, Ray Jones has also put together a lot of material that would help us to position, again, some of the objections that we would typically see in a Linux One environment. I know you've seen all of these. But there's new pricing models and new proof points, new comparison points, et cetera, that are available there. If you haven't seen any of Ray's content or any of Ray's material, this is important information for you to be able to go to. Again, as you strategize for your account and what are the kind of common issues that you're going to run into, they're going to be specific to software. They're also going to be platform specific where you need to defend the platform. And again, I know this is not new to you. And as you look at the workloads across the Zed systems in general, you can see a plethora of environments that are there and a list of real customers. In fact, I was quite surprised when I realized that these are actual customer examples that we have demonstrated the Linux One superiority, or at least Zed system superiority over Intel in each of these cases. And one of which that sticks out in my mind, Sycoop, which is down in Latin America, was one that involved our migration team that I referred to earlier. They were engaged with the customer and helped them migrate their competitive scenario onto WebSphere on the Z platform. So it's a great analogy, great example that we can be using. I believe that's a public reference specifically, but you see the use cases in the customers that we can reference to demonstrate the capabilities across those in different environments. Now, in terms of resources, there is the open source information page you see click there. These are live links, and you'll see all of the information that the team is gathering that's very Zed specific to each of these product areas. So you'll be able to get white papers and facts and figures. You'll be able to link, obviously, to the competitive page, but the glossary of material continues to grow, and it's important to be able to represent, from a knowledge base when you're engaging in any situation. So these are resource links you want to take advantage of. And then wrapping up, what's our call to action? So I've covered a lot, but at a fairly high level. I mean, we haven't gone into any specific discussions on product comparisons. Obviously, that's very dependent upon the customer's use cases and the requirements, the incumbency in the account, the licensing terms and conditions. So going into any specific open source discussions at a product level really requires a deeper customer-specific understanding. But a couple of things that we wanted to leave with you. First of all, be aware of the Linux One community and the information that's available there and the worldwide competitive team as you need it. We're delighted to get engaged with you. As I mentioned to you, we spend the dominant amount of our time supporting sellers like you. Even to get on the phone and spend 15 minutes and just strategize on what kind of competitors we might be facing, where open source might be in an account, and what the position of any sponsorship might be within an organization, and what tools can we use to combat it. You know, just taking 10 or 15 minutes early in the sales cycle and having that discussion can be very, very helpful. And, of course, the competitive wiki is the resource, the repository for information. I would challenge you, again, going back to the very beginning of the presentation, for any latent bloggers out there that are interested in participating in that continuum, we'd be delighted to have you there, and we'd really like to see more and more Zed and Linux One content as part of not only the wiki content, but in our public blog. And there's a link to a sales kit as well. So that wraps up the presentation part of this session, but we do have now about 15 minutes or so for a Q&A. And Kelly, if you're still there, if you can open up the lines.
Okay, we've got the lines open up, and so anyone can speak up. We do have one question from the chat earlier. Steve Zahner asked, does the wiki show the advantages of running our middleware on Z versus x86 examples?
So the answer to that question is really dependent upon which product you're looking at. Most of the comparisons that we have done have been in a distributed environment, but there are some examples that where we're using Zed. So it really depends on the specific environment you're looking at. Now, having said that, I will indicate that we don't have enough Zed references and Zed environment examples. So we need to change that. Hopefully, we'll be in a position to beef up those kind of comparisons in the Unix One and Zed platforms.
I have a question. It's Mary Wallace. I just thank you. This is very helpful. I also knew, along with trying to combat open source, I think we also at IBM have a challenge in convincing people to understand that we really are embracing open source with that embrace and enhance kind of philosophy. And I know just from working with Big Insights, we spend a lot of time convincing people it's really Hadoop under the covers. Are there resources based on the new announcements we're aware of to help? Because we need to convince folks that this is real open source on Z and then get them there and then build them up. Are there resources to help with that?
Stephen, Beth, can you help Mary? I mean, it's we see that issue all the time. Certainly, as I mentioned at the outset, is kind of correcting the misunderstanding about where we are with open source. But is there specific material that you could direct to her?
Mary, not that I'm aware of yet, but that's one of the things that we opened up this open source feedback wiki. Off of the main technical sales wiki to begin gathering those kind of questions so that we can go after and take action on getting the information that you need.
Okay, thank you so much.
And I guess a follow-up question to that, this is Beth, based on what, John, you talked about and what you have, would that be a beginning to answer Mary's point? Because it really shouldn't matter whether it's Linux on Z or Linux on some other platform. We should be able to have some of those open source kind of answers. Is that right, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of material that, and as I mentioned, the Open Source Plus website, Mary, is a resource you might want to kind of go to as well. And that talks to the kinds of investments that we're making in the open source community. There's a number of white papers that are referred to. There's a gentleman named Angel Diaz.
We know Angel well.
You know Angel? Yeah, he's written a number of white papers that talk very specifically to that point. So
okay.
Those are all, I think, indicators of those kinds of investment points. Is, they may not address a specific product issue that you wanted to talk to, but I think they begin to do a pretty good job of demonstrating the kind of commitment that we do have.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I'm thinking, and I don't have a specific for the stuff we've announced, but I know in the past and going and selling Big Insights, we often have to convince clients that it's really open source Hadoop, and if you wanted to use just that base, that base product is open source Hadoop, and we've built on top of that, and getting that message across when we do it successfully. I've seen us be successful, but I've seen it really be a challenge. So I was just kind of extending that.
Yeah, I understand.
Those are good resources. Thank you.
Now, one of the other things that we are talking about doing is that I am looking at seeing, you know, whether it would make sense for us to extend applications like our competitive mapping application to begin storing these open source scenarios so that when we see a particular open source vendor in your environment, we can begin registering, you know, what products might we look at to complement or to compete or to upsell in those scenarios. So if, for those of you that are using that tool, if you think something like that might be highly valuable, please give us some feedback on the open source feedback page, because I am looking at that and looking to see, you know, what kind of level of work might it take for us to register all these open source vendors and register our perspective about, you know, from an IBM perspective. Do we compete? Do we complement? And do we upsell?
As KVM comes out, I guess it's GA, right? That's an open source competitor to ZVM. And people are wondering about how to sell, you know, software that we actually sell against that. So if that information is on that wiki, that's great. I'll go take a look. I want to point people there.
Again, I would contrast that, though, with KVM as a zero cost but has a cost for support, but it does also have limited feature function relative to what ZVM offers. So you've got to compare and contrast that if you believe it is a competitor to ZVM.
Hi, this is Jenny Moore. I have a question that's related to this KVM, and that is, if we have a customer who hasn't to date gone into the Linux and Z world and has invested heavily off Z in some of the VMware vRealize kind of solutions, do we have any information from an administrative standpoint on what that would look like on Z versus an open environment, or contrasting that to the maintenance that we would need for ZVM? Kind of the systems management perspective or operational aspects of this open source world.
Yeah, it sounds like we don't have any specific insight on the top of our mind, but perhaps you could just document that question and get it to Stephen.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. And we can, between Stephen and the systems management group who are continually battling this issue as well, maybe we can look for examples that can respond to that.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
All right. Well, John, I'd like to thank you for hosting in this particular call today and presenting this information for us. I look forward as we look for, you know, the next series that we need to develop on this topic. So if you got particular areas for the listeners on the call today, please, you know, advise us through the open source feedback wiki on what topics are most important to you as we begin developing the next session in this series. We look forward to your input, and thank you for attending the call today. And John, thank you for your presentation.
My pleasure, Stephen. Thank you.